Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. We will also read a couple of verses in chapter 13. But Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, we will read responsively. I will read the odd verses, read the even verses together. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now let's go to chapter 13, please. Chapter 13. We will read verses 8 through 10. I'll read 8 and 10. We'll read 9 together. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 8, "But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the opportunity, the responsibility to be here with our church family and to hear a message from your word. God, I pray that you would please speak through our pastor to us. Give us listening hearts, listening ears, listening minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Time measured out my days. Life carried me. My place and read the course I could. start, and when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between.
We're in the book of Acts this morning. This morning is what we call Next Step Sunday, where we just look through our steps of growth and encourage you with that. And we're going to look at that this morning in a little bit. And the reason we do that, and we talk about growth all year long, because growth is important. Every Christian should be growing in their faith on a regular day-by-day level. Okay, and that's very, very vital, because growth is important. It's something we should never stop doing as an individual. As a Christian, you know, you never get to the point where you can say, I'm there. I've arrived. If you think you've arrived, you haven't looked at the roadmap, okay? You got a long way to go. Someone has said, when you stop growing, you start dying. Also, for a Christian, growth should just be natural. It should just be an outflow of your relationship with God and what is going on in your life with the Lord. And growth, though, is very, very specific. You know, if so often you ever made a New Year's resolution. Here's how to make our New Year's resolution that won't work. You know, I want to be healthier this year. Well, good for you. Okay. I want to be a better Christian this year. You know what's wrong with that? It's not specific. What does it mean? You know, if I want to be healthier this year, that probably means you need to quit eating McDonald's, okay? Right there, if you just did that, you'd probably live 5 more years, just probably. But it's like, well, what is that all about? The same thing is true when we say we want it. It's very specific. What do I need to do? And I believe growth also comes sequentially, okay? It's kind of like an order. It's a process. We've preached on that before. But today's message is a little different. It's going to be a little bit more practical. And in a few minutes, I'm going to pass out something to you that will be part of the message we'll go through, because I want us to get it. In our verses that we read, it talks about the beginning of Saul's Christian life. Chapter 9 talks about his salvation experience. We know that Saul was a great persecutor of Christians. He was very religious, and he was very zealous in a false religion. And so not only was he zealous for it, he was zealous against those who he felt were a threat to his Jewish religion. And so he would have Christians put to death if they would not renounce their faith. He caused many Christians to renounce their faith. Here he is on the road to Damascus to do a lot more of the same thing. And as he's on that road, God reaches out to him, and Jesus Christ reaches out to him, and I believe this is where he meets Christ and is saved. But the part I want us to see is that immediately after that, he asks God exactly what did God want him to do. And from that day forward, he did exactly what God wanted him to do. Flip over, please. I do want us to look at these verses to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a second. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 6 through 8. We're going to see that this is the end of Paul's, now as he's known, his Paul's life, Saul as it were. And he's looking back and reflecting as he's getting ready to really pass on to the eternal home. And he's kind of looking back and reflecting. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He goes, "My time's about up. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." He says, I'm at the end now. My life's coming to an end, and I can honestly, with a good conscience, look back and say, in my Christian life, I've fought a good fight, finished my course, and I've kept the faith. I did all those things which God wanted me to do. I wonder how many Christians, if they were honest, when they got to the end of their life, could say that. Now, none of us with full assurance could say, "Man, I've done everything that God has wanted me to do," because we're not perfect. But in a sense, if we could look back at the end of our lives and say, "When the time I met Christ, as I grew forward until the day that, you know, I die," you know, you get on your funeral, on your tombstone, there's your birth date, there's a dash, and there's when it ends. I wonder if how many could say, "You know, when I get to the end of my life, I can look back and say, I've done it. I've done to the best of my ability. I follow God. I've finished my course. I fought the battles that needed to be fought, and I have kept the faith." Now, before he was ever Paul, he was Saul, the persecutor. He was known primarily as Paul after his salvation. Now, why did his name change? And I'm not one of those, you know, I can't show from the Bible that Jesus changed his name or whatever. But maybe he had that surname, and some of them did have surnames like that. But I just know this. After he was saved, he primarily was known as Paul. When we look at all of his works that he does, he's a Saul. He's a Paul. Saul was really who he was before he knew Christ. If you allow me a little license here, the description of all that he did for God, he's primarily Paul. It's almost like Saul was the old life. Saul was who I was before I knew Jesus Christ. And Paul was what he did and who he was after he met Jesus Christ. What was it, though, that put Saul on this path of becoming a dynamic, influential Paul that was a pillar of the early church, a great missionary, and author of the majority of the New Testament principles? It goes back to his salvation experience. You see, I think what made him what he was is that immediately after he trusted Christ, he said, "What do you want me to do? What's the next step?" He was now saved. That was taken care of. But he wasn't just satisfied with being saved like so many people that I know. He wanted to be next step. What do you want? "I'm saved, Jesus, and I've been fighting against you. Those days are over. So what do you want me to do?" And from that time on, it's exactly what he did. He just followed God's will. I'm not saying that we need a name change after salvation. What most of us need is a life change. And I want to encourage each of us today, if I put a title on this, it'd be "Don't Remain a Saul, Become a Paul." Let's look at our Christian life and not just be satisfied with being saved, not just be satisfied with what we are, who we are, or what's going on, to say, "I want to be what he wants me to be." Now, how does that happen? I'll give you three thoughts, and then I want us to look very practically at our next steps so we can see where we're at. First of all, I think It's just a result of a genuine salvation. The prompting of Paul to ask the question came after he met Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. Salvation should change us. You read the Bible, it's there. It is all in there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New means recently made, fresh. You're not who you were before. You're a brand new person. Would be everything before you, your life was whatever it was not godly, it was not Christian, and when you got saved, you're brand new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How do we become a new person? Well, if any man, he is a new creature. Creature means creation. Now the Spirit of God is inside of us, and he has created us to be a different person than we were before. When you trusted Christ, all the important things about you are brand new, spiritually speaking. That is why you ought to want to follow God. You say, oh, but Pastor Myers, I've heard your story. You know, you got saved and you didn't serve God for 2 years. Can I just tell you something? But after I got saved for those 2 years, God was all over me every step of the way. It seemed like before I got saved, I would do all kinds of stupid things, all kinds of crazy things, Brother Pichardo, and I always got away with it. And I didn't feel bad about it. But everything I did after I got saved, I felt bad about it. And I had a tendency to start getting caught. And things weren't as good. And every time I do that, I would have this prompting of God like, you're not doing the right thing. Why? What was God saying? You're a new creature. You can't do this successfully anymore. You know, one thing Christians can't do, you can't sin successfully. Sorry about that. You know, sometimes you're like, Lord, I got to do this. It's a little deceitful. I pray you bless it. Let me just help you with that. No. Because you're a new person. You're now his child. And when we're not being what we're supposed to be, God's going to prompt us to get there. But can I just tell you something? It shouldn't be unusual for someone who trusts Christ to change. That we get so happy when someone trusts Christ, they come into church, and they start growing. It's like, listen, I'm excited too, but that just ought to happen. Now, I'm not saying we need to inspect everybody, but I'm just saying you're here. If you've known Christ, you ought to be different. Genuine salvation will push us to grow. So how does that happen? It's a fruit of the Spirit. In our class, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We enjoyed the first three lessons, joy, love, joy, and peace. Those are easy. The last two, not so much. Long-suffering and gentleness. Like, really? Can we just move on and go to the last three? Okay? It's not natural. But how do these things that God tells us we're supposed to in our life, how do they happen? Because when we're saved, the Spirit of God indwells us. And now the things that he wants us to do, the things we read in the Scripture, the Spirit of God will prompt us to do those things. And really, if we'll stay close to him, he'll empower us to do those things. It's just a natural part of being saved. Growth is inherent in salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Before I move to the second point, let me ask you, are you a growing Christian? Are you a growing Christian? Because growth comes in steps. See, we don't get saved and automatically we're what God wants us to be. We have to progress. We have to move forward. We have to take steps. Some of those steps are positive. There's things we have to do. Some of those steps are not negative, but there's things we need to eliminate. Some are addition, some are subtraction. But it's a result of a genuine Christian. Number two, it's the request of a growing Christian, a growing Christian. If we want to grow, we're going to want to make some changes. We're going to want to go forward. If you're a growing Christian, you're going to hear things sometimes or read things from the Scripture and you're going to think, what? That's what a Christian is supposed to do? Or, wow, that's something a Christian shouldn't do? That's something I should have in my life? That's something I shouldn't have in my life? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know I felt that way. I'd sit in church and I'd hear him say something. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And then I'd see it in the scripture. And I'm like, I'm in. So if we're going to be a growing Christian, it is something we want to do. Paul understood something that we ought to understand. Belief demands action. We live our lives and make our choices and do our actions based on what we truly believe. You say, well, I know some Christians that say they believe the Bible and they do the opposite because they believe that they can get away with it. They believe that it's just one of those things and God will forgive them or whatever. Or they're believing some lame excuse. But listen, Paul really believed. And Paul had the wrong belief earlier, and that wrong belief led him to wrong actions and false zeal. Right? But when he got saved, he brought that in. He said, this is different now. This is Jesus. And so my belief in Jesus is going to lead me to a different course of action. I hate to say this, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but when you trusted Christ, it's going to mean a change. How many have ever witnessed to somebody and they're like, I just don't believe I can change? I remember there was a lady in our church, remember Kira? And she came, I think my wife led her to the Lord, and she got saved, and she was just one of those like, what do you want me to do? And her husband, Dave, was a really good guy, and he came to church a few times, but he didn't want to get saved. And we talked to him several times. One time, my wife and I went by the house, and I think he was about ready, and I'm like, started talking to him, and he's like, he goes, you know what? He goes, I trust Christ. I just don't think I can change. Now, I helped him with that, but even before he was saved, he knew that if you became a Christian, you're not different to keep your salvation, but he knew it would make him different. And I explained to him, I said, well, of course you can't on this side of salvation because you don't have God's Spirit dwelling inside of you. The things that you're supposed to do, I would look at him too and say, I can't do that. But when you get saved, you're a new creature. Now you can do those things. And he got saved. See, you can change. And if you're a growing Christian, you're going to request that or you're going to want that in your life. We need to grow. Number three, it's also the road of growing, of going forward. It's the road of going forward. The key thing I want you to understand today, and all of it will be different for each and every one of us. As you look at your Christian life, I just want you to think this. What direction am I going? That's it. Now, when you go somewhere on vacation, when we go somewhere on the way home, particularly because we're coming home, it's like the goal is to get in the car, we're done with vacation, and get home as fast as possible. Enough is enough. Not vacation, but being with the family. Enough's enough. Okay. You know, it's nice if there's three of you. Our family, there's like 320 people, so it's like, it's bad. We don't even like it. It takes like 2 weeks after vacation before we even speak to each other again. But it's like, let's just get home. Now, you can get home by going the speed limit plus 7 or 8. You can usually get away, I'm not telling you to do this, but someone told me, you can usually get away with 7 or 8 extra miles an hour there in the middle of nowhere. You can get in the car and go home 5 miles an hour, right? That's going to take you a little longer. One time we went, we had a Mazda. I don't know why we did that. And that car was broke down, Brother Bichardo, and we're driving home, and it was like, it took us a long time. That car was struggling. But it doesn't matter. But we're going to get home as long as we're going what? The right direction. Now, if I say, all right, we're going to go home and we're going to go 90 and I head north, listen, we're going to be in Canada. The key is, what direction are you going? Not everybody grows at the same speed, but I would hope in your Christian life, you're going forward. That's the key. What is your direction? Where are you headed? You ever heard us use the term, and we don't use it a lot, but, you know, I'm a backslidden Christian. I've knocked on doors and met people, invited me to church, like, oh, I'm not going to church. I'm a backslidden Christian. I'm like, well, I'm glad you identified yourself. I would never say that, okay? You know what backslidden means? it means, here we go. This is, in the Greek, it means to slide back. Backslidden, get it? Thank you. I'm here all week. Okay. You know, that's all it means. You know what it means? It means it was a Christian at one point that was going in the right direction, and now they're sliding backwards. Oh, they may think they're pointed that direction, but their direction tells you they're going that way. They're not growing anymore. They're not taking steps. So what direction are you headed in? Now, very practically in our church, we have identified, now this is not exhaustive. There's so many things in the Bible. You could do all 8 of these and 12 others, and you still got a way to go. But we've identified some core things that'll help you on this process of growth. Ushers, can we pass these out? Okay, are we ready, Brother Bichard? Do they have these? Get the color ones. We're going to pass these out. These, and you can keep these. Okay, these are for the adults if you want one. If you already have one, that's fine. But we'll pass these out. These are our 8 steps of growth for you to keep. And I'm going to just briefly go through them. But as I go through them, as we finish, I want you to think this. Where am I at? What step do I need to take? By the way, I've met people, they've got saved, and they've jumped through all of these as fast as possible. I mean, they're in. Okay? I don't even think you're there. Okay? So all 8 of these, and this is what we're going to go through. And then at the end, I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment. Let me say this, too. Some of you are here saying, you know what? Been here, done that, memorized the banner. But you know what happens sometimes? People start doing some of these, and then you know what they do? They slide back. That doesn't mean you're on alcohol. Doesn't mean you're you know, being wicked. It just means you've slidden back on some of the things you know you should have done. Some of the things you used to do for the Lord, you've kind of maybe let up a little bit. And you're not doing them like you used to before. What are our steps of growth? Let's just go through these briefly and we'll be done. We categorize them by 4 basic levels: loving God, loving others, serving God, and serving others. And each level gets a little bit deeper. But let me just explain a few things. First one is salvation and baptism. Salvation and baptism. It says in Acts chapter 8:2, verse 41, and they that gladly received his word, they preached at Pentecost. Peter preached. Thousands got saved. They gladly received his word. And what did they do? What was the next thing they did after their salvation? Were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There was at least 3,000 people that day that received Jesus Christ. They received the gospel message, and as soon as they were done, they got baptized. Let me say this. You cannot grow until after you've been born. Now, let's strike that. You cannot grow until after you're conceived, because we believe life begins at conception, regardless of what Bill Nye says. Okay? By the way, how many of you know who Bill Nye is? He's nuts. This is not preaching, but just let me throw this out here. Okay? That guy is wicked pagan. I don't just throw that out. How many saw his little video against abortion, against those who believe against abortion? It didn't even make sense. It was incoherent. It was just a guy that's bitter against God, who looks like a nerd, and believes like Satan. So I just thought that. Learn your science from somewhere else. What are we talking about? It says here, love God. Okay, good. But what you can't grow until you've trusted Christ. So let me just explain it here today. If you are not a Christian, if you don't know you've received Christ as your Savior, you can't take any of this. You can take some of these steps. They have no meaning until you trust Christ first. Now, some of you have trusted Christ, and you've not been baptized. That's the first step of growth after salvation. It's exactly what they did here. You go to the Ethiopian eunuch. As Philip was witnessing to him in his chariot, and he told him exactly how to get saved, they passed by some water, and he said, hey, what's keeping me from being baptized? And he said, if you believe with Jesus Christ, you can be baptized. He goes, I believe with all my heart. They stopped the chariot. They got out. He got baptized. So if you've not been saved, I encourage you to take the step of trusting Christ. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized after salvation. And so that's the first step. If we don't do that, you say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm saved. I've been baptized. Well, you got wet. And that's about it. The second step is devotion. devotion. What is devotion? We quoted the verse earlier. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This basically means that after you get saved, you need to develop a personal relationship with God that will lead you to growth. Reading your Bible, spending time in prayer, that type of thing. Okay. By the way, so many Christians that have done a lot of the steps, it seems like they neglect that one, and that one needs to be to the top. Yes, you need to be at church. Yes, you need to do these other things, but if you're not spending time with God personally, you're going to struggle, and you're not going to have the kind of Christian life that God wants you to have because you're not spending time with Him. One of the reasons God saved us is He wanted to restore fellowship with us. And sin had destroyed that, and now we're saved, and now we're His son. Now He wants that relationship. And we do that by spending time with Him in His Word. I would also put in there encouragement for church attendance, because you're going to hear the Word, and you're going to be encouraged to build that relationship with God. And when around here, when we talk about church attendance, we talk about four to flourish, being in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night. So if we're going to love God, we have to be saved, we have to be obedient in baptism, and we have to spend time personally with Him. Now, the second phase is loving others. Now, these are very, very practically speaking for us in our church sense, but loving others involves two things. We believe in our adult Sunday school or Bible classes. Remember, the two greatest commands in all the Bible are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and to love thy as thyself. Now, part of the way we do that in the church is we develop relationships with people, particularly newer people, and we do that in our adult Bible classes. I encourage all of you who come to this church to make sure that you are in a Bible class. And I know it's early. Now, we all go to work way before 9:30, okay? But it just seems on Sunday, 9:30 seems like forever. Usually by 9:30, you've already been working for a few hours, but on Sunday, it just seems out there. Look, be in an adult Bible class. Start purposely work on developing relationships with people in your church. But along those lines, it's not just the church membership. That's the fourth step. Everybody needs a church home. Everybody. You say, well, you're just saying that because I'm here and you want me to join your church. First of all, it's not my church. And second of all, yeah, I want you to join. If you're coming here, I want you to be a part of us. If you were genuinely here and say, this church isn't for me, I would encourage you to go find a good church you can be a part of. And not just show up. I'm saying, like, this is my church. I want to be a member. You know why people don't want to be members of churches? You want to know why? They don't like commitment. Right? And that's why, you know, sometimes people live together. They don't want the commitment. Commitment helps. Okay? Don't just date our church. Marry our church. Okay? Say, hey, you know what? If you're coming to this church, say, I want in. By the way, it's not a country club. It's not that hard to get into. We'll get you in here. Okay? We have two requirements to be a church member. You got to be saved and baptized, scripturally in proper order. Now, there's things we ask of a church member to do, but we're not checking on you. But that's the requirements biblically. When they got saved and baptized at Pentecost, did they go through a membership class before they became a member? No. They were added to the church right there. Now, we have other things to help with that. But I encourage you, some of you need to take that step to say, I'm not just going to come here. I want to make this my church. I want to be a part of it. Say, I'll ruin your church. Listen, we've had other people that have tried. Okay? And it's not working. We understand where you're at. All right, level three is serve. Now we go past loving God and loving others. Then you know what we need to do? We need to serve. So what do? We serve God. How do you do that? We have two things that help us with this. And all of this helps serving God, but it's just we're trying to simplify it. It's discipleship. Discipleship. Now, everybody needs to be a disciple. I believe there's a difference between a Christian and a disciple. A Christian is when we trust Christ. We become a disciple when we say, I'm going to follow and I'm going to go forward. And I could tell you why I believe that, but Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man come to me, come. Nope. Hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. He's not telling you physically to hate them. He's giving you a comparison. And his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Well, let me ask you, he has requirements. Are you willing to follow him? Now, what do we do to help with that? We have what we call a discipleship class. We do it on Thursday nights. It's part of our service. And you come into our class, and someone from your Sunday school class will go out with you during the teaching time, and you go through our book, and it teaches you these steps. It teaches you what we believe. It teaches you why we do some of the things we do. And if you're a member or you want to be a member, I encourage you, go through discipleship. If you've been here for a while and you're saying this is your church, you need to become a member, and then you also need to go through the discipleship class, okay? So you kind of get an idea of who we are and learn some of the things we believe and why we do some of the things we do on certain this and that. It's because of our core beliefs here. And then giving. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We could go to Malachi and just talk about tithing. Listen, God wants you to give. If this is your church, God wants you to give, and you give to your church. Stewardship. We give to that which we love. We give to that which we are a part of. Well, I love to come to the church and get. And I'm not getting on you, but I'm saying, you know, someone's got to give so that we can give, if that makes sense. You know, lights don't turn themselves on. The tracks don't pay for themselves, okay? We have, that has to be taken care of. So this is our church. We all partake giving. And then lastly, serving others. There's two ways that we serve others. First of all, just by serving. Get a ministry. Something you can do in the church. Once you're a member, one of the things you ought to do is say, where can I serve in the church? Where can I actively, physically do something? We have so many ministries around here. You talk with your Sunday school teacher. If someone takes you to discipleship, where can I get plugged in? Where can I get involved? Well, we'll ask certain things like, what are your talents? What are your gifts? What are you good at? And we'll find a way to plug you in. Okay, you know, I know that's why you're not doing anything. You know, like, we run a bus ministry, people to drive the bus captains, bus workers, nurseries, Sunday school teachers, music. By the way, if you can sing or you got musical skills, quit hiding. We're gunning for you, okay? We're going to get you in the choir. Say, why aren't you in the choir? You've ever heard me sing? You wouldn't ask that question. Some of you play instruments, and I don't mean the jug or the drums or electric guitar. Some of you play instruments, okay? The jug. I don't need the jug. Listen, let's use our talents for God. Let's serve somebody. I'll tell you what there are certain, I could just look back at my Christian life, certain things just kicked it up. When I decided to go to the church services, that just kicked it up. You know what the next thing after that was? When I decided to start serving and getting involved, that really just kicked it up. And so there's so many things we can do. And then lastly, soul winning. We've talked about that. That's teaching them. That's where we get to the point where we understand our faith enough that we can share it with somebody who's not a Christian and tell them exactly what they need to know to trust Christ. By the way, the cults do it. You talk to a Mormon, they'll tell you. Now, they won't tell you the whole truth that you're going to be a god of your own planet. And then if you're a lady, you're not going to be a god of your own planet. You're going to be pregnant for all eternity. That sounds a little more like the other place to me. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You know, and Jehovah's Witnesses know what they believe. Listen, why? If we're a Christian, we ought to be able to share that. Hey, here's how I became a Christian. Here's how you can become a Christian. Some of us need to do that. Now, we'll do this and we're done. Ushers, I need the second card. I'm going to encourage you to think for a minute. In a minute, we're going to pass these out. We'll bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. I want you to think this through. I don't want you just to think about the steps. I want you to commit to taking them. And by the way, some of you used to do some of these things. You used to be in a ministry. You're not one anymore. You're not backslidden, but you slid back from that. You used to come soul winning on Tuesdays, or you used to share your faith or carry tracts, talk to people. You've slid back on that. You're not doing that anymore. Okay? Maybe you used to give. You quit giving. Maybe you used to spend time with God, devotions, and you've got away from that. You know what's nice? It's nice when we kind of slide away from what we used to do to have a point to say, you know what? I'm jumping back in. I used to do that, and I got away from it. You know what? I'm not saying any of this to condemn you, because we all have struggles. It's like, you know what? I'm getting back in. I wasn't doing that, but you know what? I'm going to do it. Or maybe you're new and say, hey, I know what some of the next steps I need to take, and I want to get help with that. We'll pass these out for a minute. And then one that's passed out, we're going to bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. I'm going to ask you to think this through. Let's all stand together. This is a different message, I know, but you know, sometimes we need to just think about what we need to do, and we just need to be very specific about it. Remember what I said earlier, growth is specific. How would you like it if your boss called you in one day and said, you know what, you're just not doing a good job. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to fire you. And you said, what do I need to fix? I don't know, but you're just not doing a good job. That wouldn't be very fair, would it? I want the boss to call me in and say, listen, you are really messing up in this area, and this area. Get it fixed. Then I know what to do. We had an inspector that was out here. He'd come out. We finally got it fixed. He'd look at it and say, I don't like that. Like, well, the city said we can do it that way. He goes, but I just don't like it. We're like, well, what do you want us to do? He goes, I don't know. I just don't like it. That was not very helpful. We had to get him out here with his inspectors so that they said, hey, lay off of it. This is fine. All he had to do was tell us what to do. You know what? Sometimes we just need to say, hey, what do you need to do? These are specific. Now, sometimes we have issues going on in our life, peripheral issues, circumstances, whatever, that kind of, we can work through those, but let's get the core things down. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute.